Well, usually every year I do kind of a state of the church address. That's what this is today, and I wanted to share a few highlights from last year, or a few things to draw your attention to, and then a few things about the coming year, and then I want to share some scriptures at the end. So first of all, I do want to remember there were five people here on this list that went on to be with the Lord this past year. Now, I know there's others. These are people that were part of our fellowship. I'm sure there's people who've lost family members, uncles, aunts, grandparents, and this is in no way to say they're not important, but I wanted to at least address the people that fellowshipped here for some point in time in their life. And I just wrote here, these are wonderful people. I mean, how can you really describe a person's life in a word? But they are all wonderful in their own unique way. And we can't help but missing them. Amen. And I want to mention Kathy Dykeshorn and George Sandrew. And Guidance Omer, just a young boy. Angel Rodriguez. And then Dutch Griffin, most recently here. So, we all know that death is part of life. I mean, the Bible says, until he returns, there will be death. But one day, it'll all be over. One day, there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Former things will pass away. But until then, death comes to us all, and it's part of life that we must learn to embrace. It's why, to me, it's so important that we make the most of every opportunity now. Let's be done with anger and frustration with others, or being unforgiving or unwilling to reconcile. What good is it? A life is too short for those kinds of things. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Maybe the very person that you're having a hard time loving or forgiving or reconciling with is going to die tomorrow. Who knows? Or maybe you will die tomorrow and you never had that chance. So I just urge you, keep your accounts clear. See if you can walk through life this coming year with a clear heart toward everybody. As much as lies within you, be at peace with all men, the Bible says. Life is too short for us to carry around a bag full of grudges. Amen? Newcomers, 2017 saw the influx of many new faces, and they brought their bodies with them. We're thankful for that. Amen? What a blessing. And I hope you get a chance to meet some new people. You know, part of what it means to be in a fellowship is that you're continually expanding your friendships. You never know that today, maybe your very best friend, your next best friend, walked through the door today. Some of us have best friends that have been best friends for years. Others have found best friends in the last year or 2 years or three. And it may be somebody at work, doesn't have to be here, but some of you maybe found a best friend right here in this past year. So I encourage you, break out of your comfort zone, the tendency to always talk to the same two or three, meet somebody new. You'd be surprised if you'll take a little bit of time to just talk to somebody. Find out about their life, you know, find out who they are, learn about their joys and their sorrows. Then all of a sudden, God begins to link your hearts together in a different way. And it's no longer just a face in a crowd. It's not just a person sitting there on a Sunday morning, but it's somebody you think about and you care about in an ongoing way. Isn't that awesome? I encourage you to do that this year. Our finances this past year. Our total income was $318,000, and our total expenses were $309,000. So that's positive, right? And there's a basic breakdown here of where the money goes. We have actually more money in our account than this. We have like, I don't know, maybe $50,000 to $60,000 actually as a balance, but this was just how much came in and how much was spent in this past year. And what I want to draw your attention to is in the upper left, the missions and outreach portion, we were able to give like $72,000 for things outside of our church, which I thank God for. We need to always be a giving church. I mean, this is possible because you are a giving. We are a giving people. But even as a church, we want to continually give out of the blessing that God provides here. So 23% of our income was given away to others. And I pray that will continue to grow and maybe one day be 25%. Who knows? But God gives to us so we can be a blessing. And so we're not necessarily always looking for ways, just things come to us. And there's obviously times we don't give for one reason or another, but many times we do give to situations and we try to err on the side of mercy and grace. So I thank the Lord that He's enabled us to be able to give. The facilities is a large number because we spent a lot of money last year repairing our parking lot, and that's in the next paragraph. You know, we completed the parking lot, and it mentions all the things we did. Basically cost almost $85,000. And then this coming year, here's a few things we hope to do. We're going to replace all the furnaces. We have 5 furnaces in the building and 5 air conditioning units. They're about 30 years old, and they're kind of on their last leg. They're making it, but they're just time to move on. I'm trying to really get our church in a good position with a lot of these expenses so the next generation won't have to worry about it for 30 years.
Right.
Like the next time we have to put a roof on, I hope it's somebody else besides me. No, I'd actually like to be there as part of that work party myself. We're going to replace the exterior doors that are on the sides and then the one in the back. We're going to swap out our parking lot lights. We actually have them now. And, you know, Gordon's going to be working on installing those, which is good because it's absolutely dark at night if you've been here at night. And those should be working here soon. Right, Gordon? And maybe some other improvements there. Next page on the back. Our theme for 2018 is step out of your comfort zone. Everybody has one. It's a place where you feel safe. And like I shared with you before, all the excitement is out there. Right. It's really not in the comfort zone. Within some people, a willingness to take a risk, to be willing to fail, to try something new. But that's where the excitement really is. It is out there. Nothing really amazing happens in the safe zone. Things stay pretty much the same. And I see in the Bible different times where the Lord urged people into this mode. Like, for example, Abraham. Leave your country. How many of you know it's hard to leave your country? Right. Leave your country and go to a place that I will show you. You know, if you were going to leave your country, wouldn't you want to know the destination before you packed your bag?
Right.
But not the Lord. See, He doesn't deal with us that way. He says, just leave the country and I will show you as you're on the journey. That's risk and it's faith and it's stepping out. But look what the Lord did in Abraham's life. Here's some ways that we have been, and I pray that we will continue to reach out through this coming year. One is, like we prayed for this morning, the people that God has put in our lives. You know, let's continue to pray for the people that God has brought into our lives. Pray for their salvation. Be willing to share Christ with them. If you haven't sat down and wrote down a list of maybe two people, maybe it's somebody at work, somebody at school, your neighbor, are we thinking about why we exist as a church? I mean, we are called to preach the gospel to all nations. And yes, we have other things. We fellowship and we have parties and we eat food and we sing and we worship together. But if we fail to preach the gospel, we're missing out on the very reason Jesus wants us to exist. And so we're trying to find easy ways for us to be involved in that process. People that you already know. We're forming some of those new getting to know you groups again, an opportunity for you to meet new people, make some friends. Information is in the black books on the bulletin board back there. We want to continue to reach the neighborhood children through the VBS and the Shine every week. You know, there's lots of kids out here who don't know the Lord, or their parents don't know the Lord. Somewhere along the line, it would be great to have an opportunity to have them be within earshot, to hear the gospel, to interact with people who know Jesus, who can speak into their life in a very powerful way. And there's a burden upon Catherine and Nate and Barb and Matt, others who are working in that ministry, to touch not just church children. We certainly want to do that, but we want to reach these kids that don't know Jesus. Amen? And I've not run into many people, but I've run into some people who told me they came to know Jesus in Vacation Bible School.
Right.
So the opportunity is there. We're going to continue to conduct outreaches for the Latino community in Canton. We'll continue to reach out to Mount Union College students as we are able. We'll continue periodic evangelistic outreaches, either in our neighborhood or when we go out to these summer festivals around town or in the county here. We'll continue to go on short-term mission trips. There's a team in Guatemala right now, and you know, if any of you have ever wanted to go on a short-term mission trip, it's an easy step to go from here to Guatemala. There's a cost involved and a commitment of time, obviously, but it's a great opportunity if you've ever wanted to try something like that. They go every January. And then we also work alongside other churches in the summer during what's called the Alliance Mission Encounter, which is really going around and fixing up people's homes and painting and cleaning up yards. It's a great testimony for Jesus. And if you are a person, maybe you don't feel like you're a preacher or a teacher, but you like to work with your hands, come down. We'll be announcing that when it comes. It's usually in June. But it's another way just to reach out into our community and be a testimony for Jesus Christ. In this coming year, we're also looking to implement a more formal safety and security plan here at the church. And I'll be sharing more on that later on as time goes on. But it's part of what we're doing with the numbering system for the Sunday school. That's part of that. And then growth. As our church continues to grow, we're praying and thinking about what our next steps should be in order to provide room. And here's some potential options. One is to have a children's worship in the fellowship hall. One is to have a second service. One is maybe add a Sunday school wing. One is to plant a church somewhere. In other words, kick some people out of here. Build a new sanctuary over here. So those are all things that are just there. There are things to pray about. And just ask that you would continue to pray for us and pray that God will help us to understand His will and purpose for the future, for all those things. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a snapshot of last year and then kind of what the hopes are for the coming year. I want to talk now about specifically stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, we had those little flyers inside the black books. Maybe you've picked one up. Maybe you didn't. If you didn't, you can still slide them down the aisle. Maybe grab one. But it's a picture of a little man with an orange ball. He's stepping out of his comfort zone. And there's a list of suggestions because I don't know what the Lord wants you to do. I don't know how He wants you to grow. But I feel like every one of us can grow this year. Growing in the Lord isn't that big of a deal. It's taking one step. It's taking an incremental step. You might feel like you've been stalemated, like I'm always the same, never changing. Well, if you never do anything different, you'll always remain the same.
That's exactly right.
And so pick one thing. You know, Paul the Apostle said, this one thing I do.
Right.
Isn't it great to be able to say, I'm only doing one thing? It makes your life pretty simple.
Right.
And maybe for you, it's as simple as, I'm going to read one Bible verse a day. Now, some of you who read a book a day might say, that's nothing. But for somebody who's never read the Bible, maybe one scripture a day is huge because they'll read 365 of them in a year. And if you read that one, I mean, look at the testimony from Christina this morning. One verse in the Bible changed her life. It literally changed her life. All her life, she struggled with self-confidence. One scripture from the Word of God gave her light, gave her understanding. You know, it's not a magical thing. This is the Word of God. And the Lord gives us these things to address the things in our life. What if she never picked up the Bible? What if she was given these scriptures and she said, ah, that's just the Bible, and threw it aside. But she was willing to open it up and just crack the Bible for a minute and read that. And all of a sudden, boom, my life is never the same. You will never struggle again with those feelings, Christina. Why? Because Jesus placed truth in your heart. And who's going to take that away?
Right.
I could sit here and tell you you're ugly, or anybody else could tell you're ugly, and you're going to say, Jesus thinks about me all day long. It was just, it was such an amazing testimony.
Right.
And I appreciate you sharing that. But who knows which of us need something from the Lord? We are crying out, Lord, how come you never speak to me? He says, I have. Open up the Bible and read it. Open it, and you just find that one. It's like, oh my goodness, that one scripture, and my life is forever changed. There's things here that I've written down just as suggestions. I mean, some of them have to do with relationships. Like, reconcile one broken relationship. Do you have a broken relationship? Maybe make it a priority this year, Lord. I want to reconcile one broken relationship. I don't want to spend the rest of my life, you know, focused on the negative or feeling beat down or feeling like nothing will ever change. I'm going to start praying for this relationship, for healing. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to begin to serve that person. I'm going to begin to love that person. No, just one thing. It'll change your life. You don't have to settle for things as they always are. Spend one date night with your spouse. Just one. You might find it's a beautiful thing and you say, hey, let's do that again next week. Remember, I'm talking to people who are having a hard time. Some of you may already do that, but if you never really do it, just do it once. Speak one kind word to your children. You know? Sometimes our words to our children are out of frustration. It's easy to see the things they do wrong and we point those out, but what would it be like if you said, you know what? From this day on, I'm going to say one kind thing to my children every day. Every day. Now, you might fail to do it because you're not in the habit, but think about it. Lord, I want to speak life into the lives of my children. I don't want to end up with my children like Christina was, having to live a whole life feeling beat down because of the things I've said. Look and see what the Lord is doing in your children's lives and speak to it. Call it out. Point it out. Look at how kind you are, my son. You know, I see how you shared your toy with your little friend there. That is like kindness. And so you're speaking about things that are so good in their life rather than, oh, that was kind of neat, but then, you know, about something else. You know what's going on in your life. I've laid out some suggestions, but go to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want me to grow this year? You know, what is it you're wanting from my life? Maybe it's within your family. Maybe it's within your marriage. Maybe it's your spiritual life. And maybe it's just your attitude. Who knows? The Lord will put his finger upon the thing that he wants to grow in your life. And all I'm saying is, be willing to take one step. I'm going to share a few scriptures. In Judges chapter 13, verse 25, it's speaking here about Samson. And we all know the story of Samson, right? The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. I'm going to share some scriptures today about being stirred up. Stirred. You know what it means to stir stuff up? It's like you can be... How many of you ladies know there are certain things that if you cook, if you never stir them, it's bad for the food? Like it sticks or it burns. You have to stir it. You have to keep it mixed. You got to keep moving it along. And we need to be stirred. Because it's easy for us to become settled and unmoved and unchallenged and unpushed or unmotivated. And we settle for things as they always are. I'm asking you to say, Lord, I need to be stirred up this year. I'm not talking about getting like, I don't need an emotional kick in the rear. I need to be stirred in my spirit. I want to be stirred up. I want to be radical for Jesus. I like the word radical. The word in the Greek language means the root. And it really means when you talk about the deep change, it's because he gets to the root of the issue. It's radical. It's right down to the very core of the thing. And I need some radical change in my life. And we say, Lord, get to the root of it with me. I just want to surrender myself for you to do your work. And I want to step out of my comfort zone. I want to take a step towards you this year different than any before. And so the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. How many of you know that sometimes it's the Lord who stirs us? And I want that in my life. And I'm saying, Lord, stir me up. Stir me. You stir me. I don't want Bill Powell to stir me. I mean, I do want Bill Powell to stir me, and that's good, but I want you to stir me. I want you to do something in my heart that makes me want to be what you want me to be. You stir me, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord stirred this man. Well, he can still stir us today. The Spirit of God can stir your heart. You might say, I just feel like my Christian walk's a bummer right now. I'm just like, you know, down. I'm going downhill. Well, stop for a moment and say, Lord, stir me up. Right. Stir me up, Lord. The question is, do you want to settle for being going downhill? Do you want to settle for that, or do you want to make something different happen? Lord, stir me. And I'll tell you, when Jesus stirs you up, you're stirred. I mean, what else can happen better than that? Hebrews 10, verse 24. Not only does the Spirit of God stir us up, but we are called to stir one another up. It says there, let us consider. In other words, the Lord is saying, I want you to think about this. I want you to give some thought to this. What is it, Lord? How to stir others up. You know, you're sitting around thinking about life, thinking about what you're going to do. Well, why don't you start thinking about your brothers and sisters in the Lord and how can you, not the Spirit of God, you, how can you stir up your brother? I don't know what the answer is other than I want to be that person. I want to be able to motivate my brothers, my sisters. I want to stir them up. And again, not just an emotional stirring. I want to be able to speak into someone's life in such a way that their spirit is touched. And God can use every one of us for this. Yes. To be an encourager, to be an exhorter, to be a person who can lift others. But we have to consider how to do it. And how many of you know that when you're in a depressed state or a discouraged spot, it's hard to stir up others? But it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So he even gives you a definition on what kind of stirring we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stir each other to love. So let me tell you something. If you have a brother or sister coming to you and they're gossiping and complaining about that sister, there, stir them up to love. Push back against that and say, hey, listen, we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to be men and women of God. This relationship that's happening right now is not honoring the Lord. What can we do? How can I help? Let me pray for you. And we start stirring each other toward love and to good works. Stir each other up to do good works. Now, we all know that good works don't get us into heaven, but we're called to walk in good works. And so don't be afraid to encourage a brother or a sister to do something good. Stir one another up for love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Some people neglect meeting together. What does the Bible say? We should not do that. Why? Why is it that we should not neglect meeting together? Anybody know? Because I need to be stirred up. I need to be encouraged. I need to be stirred to love and good works. And so the Lord says, don't neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. What's it called? A habit. I have a habit. Anybody know what my habit is?
Here on Sunday.
Every Sunday morning I have a habit. Are you glad that I have a habit of being here on Sunday?
Yeah.
What if I chose to say, hey, I'm not going to make it a habit. I mean, I'm going to show up once in a while because I still want to serve God, but I'm not going to make a habit of it.
Right.
We need to make it a habit. Now, I know people work on Sundays. I know that, unfortunately. But, you know, if you stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, chances are you're not going to make it.
Yeah,
some people might. So why don't you stay up at 4 o'clock on Friday night? That way you can make it a habit. And isn't that what the Bible says here? Am I exaggerating? This is what the Bible says. So he says, don't neglect this. I think you will find, and again, I'm not trying to make a rule out of it, but I think you will find that people who are in the habit of fellowshipping regularly do better spiritually than those who make it a habit not to.
Right.
Because there is something about being stirred and encouraged toward love and good works when you gather. We're part of a body. If my arm decided to leave my body, what good would it be? So I had over here on the challenge for 2018, Step Out of Your Comfort Zone, I said, why not attend church one time a week? What would it take to make it a habit to come to church every Sunday? What would it take? You know, I push back against this because there's so much in the world today about you just don't need the church. And I beg to differ. We need the church. Jesus said, I am building my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's not fall into that. It's a mentality that I don't think is healthy for anybody's spiritual well-being. So he says, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. See, the meeting together to encourage. And he says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, people will spend all day long talking about, we're in the last days, we're in the last days, the day's drawing near, it's coming soon. Well, what does the Lord say to do if that's happening? Gather together and encourage one another. I don't need to do that on Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? So let's fulfill all the Word of God as we can. 2 Corinthians 9:2. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and they were taking up an offering for others who were experiencing a famine at the time. And he writes and he says this, I know your readiness. In other words, they were prepared in their hearts to give. He says, I know your readiness, which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. And listen to what it says here. Your zeal has stirred up most of them.
Right.
Sometimes just your example stirs people up. It doesn't have to be an example of giving. It can be an example of anything. Sometimes I get stirred up when I see other people worshiping God. I'm thinking, I want some of what they're getting there. Or if somebody comes in and they have a zeal for evangelism, I get jealous for that. I say, Lord, I want that in my life. I need to stir it up again. I've lost something here. You know what I mean? And so somehow God uses the commitments of one another. You see somebody who has a solid marriage and you see how they interact. You say, you know, I want that for my marriage.
Right.
And that's a godly thing. It stirs us up to do something better, something different. Or we see somebody, look at how their kids are, and you're stirred. You say, man, I want my kids to be like that. How can I do that? And so sometimes just the example of us, how we live, stirs people. And that's a good thing.
Right.
And so I encourage you, when you see the activity of Christ in the lives of other people, let it stir you. Let it motivate you. And see if God might maybe move you in a different direction just because of the example of somebody else. Exodus 35. When Moses was calling the people to gather together to build the tabernacle of Moses, he asked them to come and bring, you know, money, bring the gold, bring the silver, and also people who had the ability to work in like sewing or embroidery or a molding of steel or metals, different metals. And it says in verse 21, they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him. You know, sometimes my own heart stirs me. It's like Moses says, hey, anybody who really wants to come. He didn't want everybody to come. Just if you feel compelled, come. And his heart stirred. Everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him. You know, sometimes your heart will stir you. Sometimes it's the Lord. Sometimes it's another person. But sometimes it's just you. And it's okay. You know, sometimes I think in Christianity, we feel this thing like, well, it's just me. Well, so what if it's just you? Maybe it is just you. That's all right, because sometimes our hearts can stir themselves. You know, you might say, I feel like I need to go evangelize that person, but I don't think I'm going to do it because I think it's just me. Well, sure, it's just you. You know, who else would it be? If you told me it was Rayo, I would think, wow, there's something wrong with you. You know, it is just you. And it's okay to be just you. It's okay to be stirred up in your own heart. It's okay to stir yourself and then move. And so it says here, everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him, they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for all the holy garments. Isn't that neat? So don't be afraid to be stirred in yourself. Sometimes we're actually called to stir ourselves. And my last scripture is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy had a big job. He was a young man. He was called into the town of Ephesus to help the church there. And there were a lot of false teachers. And Timothy was given the task to really put an end to false teaching and to structure the church. And it's intimidating, especially for a young man. That's why we read the scripture, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He writes to him, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer in word and in faith, and that kind of thing. So Paul's trying to encourage this Timothy, look, you are ready for the task. Yes, you're a young man, and it's a big job in front of you, but you've been given this this responsibility by the Lord. And he's saying, step into it. Step out of the comfort zone, is really what he's saying. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, "For this reason, I remind you," and the word in the King James is stir up, and the ESV is fan it into flame. You ever had a flame that was dying out on a campfire? What do? You put air to it. You fan it. You try to get some oxygen moving to make the flames come back up again. We have those baffles that we use in the fireplaces. And what are we doing? We're fanning it into flame. And Paul's telling Timothy, I'm reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God. There's something that God has deposited in you as a man of God, as a woman of God. And many times we let these gifts die. There's embers there. Maybe it's just coals down to the coals, but there's no flames. And he's saying, hey, fan it into flame, Timothy. Fire it up because you're there for a reason. God has called you. God has gifted you. Fan it into flame. This gift is in you through the laying on of my hands. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? And so I feel like I have a responsibility to stir myself up. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, if Bill Powell stirs me up, I'll be stirred. Or if the Spirit of God stirs me up, I'll be stirred. Well, what if those things don't happen? I have to fan it into flame myself. So let's take that as a common denominator. Let's figure that we're not going to be stirred by anything else. I'm going to fan it into flame myself. I'm going to take that responsibility. And so this year, I'm just saying, I think God wants us to take another step. And I'm not speaking a step as a church. I'm speaking a step as just individuals. He wants us to grow in the Lord. Maybe it is I need more love in my life. Or maybe it is I need more patience. Or maybe it is God wants me to be more compassionate toward my neighbor. Or God wants me to spend a little more time with my children. I don't know what it is for you. Ask the Lord, but take a step somewhere in your life. Maybe you could do one a month and you could do 12 steps this year. But take a step. Don't remain the same. Hopefully, by December 2018, you could look back and say, you know what, I'm not the same. God has done something in my life because I was willing to step out. Let's be stirred. Let's pray for God's stirring. Let's put ourselves in situations where we can be stirred by others, you know, by fellowship and so on. But let's never forget that I have a responsibility to stir up myself as well. Every one of us have gifts from the Lord, and let's do that. Amen. So let's all stand together and we're going to pray. Father, we always look forward to a new year. It's not anything special about it because every day for you is new. Every day your mercy is new like dew on the grass. And even if we failed in January or February, we can wake up in March and say, Lord, I'm starting the day and you'll help us. I pray that each one of us would reject the idea that my life has to always stay the same or to go backward, that I can move forward, Lord. I can go to a new place in you. You can lead me as a shepherd beside still water to green pastures. You can lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help me to hear your voice, Lord. Help me to be willing to take a risk. Help me be willing to step out in faith. Help me be willing to be stirred and help me to stir myself. Lord, help me to consider how I can stir up my brothers. And let us be a church that really has a compassion for one another, and that we will each begin to speak into the lives of others for the purpose of encouragement, to lift them up, Lord, and move them to a new place in you. I thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters that you've made part of this church family, and I just pray that we could just grow closer to you and walk a step closer to you in this coming year. I ask you for this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.